meet Kenneth Williams, Sheila Hancock, Peter Jones, and Alfred Marx in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, here to tell you about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much. Hello and welcome once again to Just a Minute. And we have two very outstanding guests to return. We hope to triumph once more. Sheila Hancock and Alfred Marx. As usual. They try and talk, as usual, on some subject that I will give them without hesitation, without repetition, and without deviating from the subject on the card. And we will begin the show this week with guest Alfred Marx, and the subject is, Alfred, how to frighten this audience. It's a rather frightening subject, isn't it? Anyway, would you try and talk about it in just a minute, starting now?
There are many ways to frighten this particular audience sitting in the studio at the moment, because we are four people upon this panel, and first of all, we have Peter Jones, a wit, a raconteur. He can frighten this audience by his erudition, by his knowledge. Sheila can frighten them by her beauty, yes. And Kenneth by dropping his trousers. They're going to look at me with my deep, booming voice, and immediately they become scared. There are, of course, other devices. This place is fitted out with spikes, which come up under the seat if people do not laugh. That is one way. We also have spooks running around, known as producers, and we also have chairmen who can press the buzzer on you.
Peter Jones.
A repetition of also.
Yes. What are you going to say about the chairman?
I was going to say how lovely you were, and you were the only one that didn't frighten us, and aren't you sorry now that you let him have the challenge?
Now, just to show how fair I have to be, I'm very sorry, Alfred. I would love to give it to you, but Peter
No, it's
Jones...
absolutely fair. I hope he has the subject for at least a second.
Well, Peter's challenge was a correct one.
Absolutely, so I quite agree.
He gets a point for that.
After all I said about him, you see.
Yes.
And Kenneth takes... never pressed the button.
I'm oh, shut up, Al. Takes over the subject. Peter, you have 21 and a half seconds left. How to frighten this audience starting now?
I think the best way probably would be to frighten oneself. And this fear would inevitably communicate itself to them, just like any other emotion would do. And great actors are skilled in this tremendous craft and art of... What? Oh, I thought you were having a fit again. You started twitching, Kenneth.
I must,
you know, always right.
I must explain to the
I've
listeners.
I've done nothing wrong. Shut up, you didn't know me.
I saw that twitching.
I must explain to the listeners, by the way, that Kenneth Williams was sitting beside Peter Jones.
I didn't do anything wrong.
You were shaking. You weren't doing anything wrong.
I was nodding.
The listeners don't know what went on, and you were shaking and nodding and twitching and all kinds
twitching.
Of things.
Twitching?
Yes. showing that you absolutely agree with what Peter said, and it put him off his stroke, and Alfred Marx challenged
him. But he's never agreed before.
Alfred.
It was a hesitation.
And it was a hesitation, yes. And Alfred has the subject back, and he has 5 seconds on how to frighten this audience, starting now.
An absolute sure way to frighten this audience is to tell them they're going to have to stay behind and watch 4 more of these shows.
Well, Ian Messiter has blown his little whistle when 60 seconds was up. And as you probably know, whoever's speaking at that moment gets an extra point. It was Alfred Marx who started the round, and he is in the lead. Kenneth Williams, will you begin the next round? The subject is tourist gift shops. Can you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
These are run by cons who hang about these places where people go to have a look and sell what purport to be souvenirs of the occasion. That's generally a load of old rubbish and worth what it's printed on, if it is printed at all.
Sheila Hancock has challenged.
Repetition of printed.
Oh, 2 printed, I'm afraid.
We'll be delighted to hear what she's got to say.
Nothing.
Sheila, you have the subject and a point for a correct challenge, and you have tourist gift shops starting now.
I think it's a little unfair of Kenneth to say that they're all from but I can be sure that there are the occasional crooks running these things, judging by the wares that you see our poor tourist friends walking around the streets with. And I do hate to think that they go back from England with some ghastly replica of an upside-down Union Jack and say that this is typical of what England represents. Yes, repetition of England.
Jones has challenged.
A repetition of England.
Very patriotic, too. Very patriotic.
What about Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland?
Well, I'm only talking about
you
English.
You cannot repeat that too many times because there will always be
an England
a repetition.
Peter, you have a correct challenge and you have...
Do I get one for patriotism?
No, you just get a nice round of applause from the audience, which I think...
I'll start speaking in Chinese.
I don't mind what you do. The audience enjoyed your sentiment and we'll get on with the game with Peter Jones talking. 18 seconds left, tourist gift shop starting now.
Well, I don't really like them and don't patronise them. I prefer
Alfred
to
Marx
find...
has challenged you.
Repetition of don't.
Oh, well, that's just a little word, you know. That's not...
Yes, but it was a correct challenge. And he hasn't played the game as often as you, but sometimes they do let the little words slip by, Alfred, but...
Right. It's a matter of taste.
But you
taste
didn't pull him
judgment.
Up. It was a correct challenge. Now, stop playing with Peter Jones, Kenneth.
He was feeling downtrodden. He was a discountenance.
I know. You threw him off his stroke a little while ago, and now you're tickling him. So leave him alone. Because he'll never get going otherwise. There are 15 seconds for Alfred Marx to take over the subject of tourist gift shops starting now.
I am not over fond of gift shops, and the one I saw in Australia depressed me more than ever, because what they have are the kangaroo, the wallaby, and they make these gifts from these poor little animals.
Kenneth Williams has challenged.
Now, when he said they have the kangaroo and the wallaby, he obviously meant symbols of them. They couldn't have had them all in the shop, because the place would have been a menagerie, wouldn't it? So I think deviation...
No, I don't think so. It was quite clear in my mind. If I went to a tourist gift shop, I wouldn't expect to see a wallaby or a kangaroo. I would step to see a replica or something
on
a jug.
In fact, there are stuffed wallabies and stuffed kangaroos in many gift shops.
Oh, how revolt.
So if you want stuffing, that's the place to go.
Oh, don't.
On every count, you still have it, Alfred. Another 3 seconds on tourist gift shops starting now.
The most revolting gifts are made from the skin.
Peter Jones.
Repetition of revolting.
No, he didn't say
yes,
revolting. Somebody else said revolting.
No, he said revolting in the early part.
Yes, I believe I did.
Well, there you are. Even he says he did.
Oh, well, thank goodness.
But I thought when you started again, it didn't count.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, no.
Because,
no.
Well, in that case, then Peter Jones is quite right.
Yes, if you said it once before, in this round, you can use revolting in the next round.
Yes, may I?
Yes.
Can I book it?
But somebody else can also use it in the next round.
May they?
They can use it in this round.
Yes.
Anybody else can use it? Yes, Peter Jones, you have only
a fifth of a second.
A fifth of a second. That little pale voice in the distance with Ian Messiter saying a fifth of a second, because he's got a top watch with him. And there's tourist gift shops. 1/5 of a second, Peter, starting now. He still gets the point for speaking or not speaking when the whistle went. And Peter Jones is in the lead, equal with Alfred Marx at the end of that round. And Peter, it's your turn to begin. The subject is unconventional weather forecasting. You like to tell us something about that? We've heard plenty of them in our country. And there's just a minute in which to do it, starting now.
Well, fir cones and seaweed, and that is about the extent of my knowledge of these unconventional means of forecasting the weather. Not that I have great confidence or faith in them, any more than I have in the weather forecasters who appear on the wireless television, and you read about them in the newspapers. And when one sees a cloud hovering overhead, whatever the shape may be, the texture or colour, it is fairly obvious that there is rain up above. And I feel that if one were able to make some contact with the clerk of the weather, who I believe is in charge of these affairs, then one would be able to get from him a message, an indication, hint of some kind about what kind of clothes one should wear.
Kenneth Williams has...
Two kinds, I'm afraid.
There were two kinds, yes. And he kept going very well. He kept going for 48 seconds. So there are 12 left for you, Kenneth, on unconventional weather forecasting starting now.
Well, there is the old saying, green sky at light, shepherd's...
Alfred Marx's challenge.
Complete rubbish. I mean, there's a deviation because the quote was misquoted, I'm afraid.
You didn't hear my quote. You're thinking of red sky at night. I wasn't going to quote that, you great nit.
Well, what
there are other quotes besides that, you know. You have no monopoly of the quote one's allowed to use.
Kenneth,
who do you think he is? Coming in here, he's not even a regular.
He knows one or two very peculiar shepherds.
Exactly.
Dennis, To be quite fair, if you can justify the start of Green Sky
at Night... It's one of my own quotes. Green Sky at Night gives you a fright.
Right. But that is not... You started off by
You're perfectly able in this show to quote yourself if you want to.
No,
you... Oh, yes, you are. No, I can go back and say, as I said in the so-and-so, she's done it on this show more than once, and I've seen her on her motorbike saying it.
You said a well-known saying, and you had not established...
Indeed. My sayings are well-known, aren't they?
Don't be such a rotten lot of liars playing out here.
I
want you all to be honest. Has anybody here ever heard Kenneth Williams say Green Sky at Night? No. How much did you pay them before you came in? Alfred Marx, you had a correct challenge.
Thank you.
He just said it, actually.
All that crawling won't help, is it? Well, they've got his health.
It might please the audience, but it's not going to get past a chairman who's trying to see fair play. Trying is the word. There are 7 seconds left, Alfred, for you on unconventional weather forecasting, starting now.
The most unconventional method of forecasting weather belongs to my father, who has an enormous corn on his little toe. Whenever this...
Alfred Marx was then speaking again when the whistle went, and he's increased his lead. Peter Jones in second place, Kenneth Williams and Sheila Hancock equal in third place, a little bit way behind. But Sheila, your turn to begin. The subject is my favourite pet.
Oh.
Oh, sorry, starting now. I forgot that bit.
Well, hold on. You're muddling me.
I know. I'll start again. The subject, Sheila, is my favourite pet, and just a minute, starting now.
Well, I used to have a simply delightful cat called Tarquin, who was named after the Rape of Lucretia, in which there is a line that says, "Black, that name, strides the night," which is what he used to do. I had him when he was a little teeny-weeny kitten, and I used to put him on a lead, and he came on my shoulder, and I was very affected in those days and wore a black velvet cat suit with this animal on my arm. And he was a great success at parties. Then I took him on tour with me wherever I went, and he would go out in the garden and always came back. Never believe that rubbish about animals.
Peter Jones has challenged.
Well, she seemed to be worried, and I thought I'd better...
I think that's the understatement of the series.
Yes, seemed to be floundering, rather. So hesitation, it would be. Hesitation.
Yes, I think there was a hesitation. And, Peter, you have a correct challenge, and my favourite pet is with you, and there are 18 seconds left, starting now.
Well, it was a goldfish, and we had it for at least 3 weeks, and I got quite fond of it. But after a while, it was always lying on its side at the bottom of this small aquarium. And after a few days, it began to look slightly mottled, and it had a very depressing look around the mouth.
If that's his favourite pet, I dread to think what the other ones are like. Peter, your favourite pet has taken you up with the point you got for speaking when the whistle went into the lead alongside Alfred Marx. Alfred?
This is a rotten game. I spoke much longer than him and I don't get any points.
Well, you do when you challenge other people.
I know, but I was speaking for about 50 seconds and he spoke for 5 and he gets a point.
Yeah, but you're a woman. You're used to speaking longer than anyone.
I've been discriminated against.
But you, it might have been a wrong challenge, so you might have got a point for that. Alfred, it's your turn to begin again. The subject is guides. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
There are many types of guides. There is a tourist guide who takes you around the Tower of London and shows you the Bloody One and the others. There are also mountain guides who will take you to the top of Everest, to wit, Sherpa Tenzing, probably the most famous of all. There are also the Indian guides. These are the ones of whom I'm most fond. At the moment, I am reading a book entitled Geronimo, which deals with said guides, and the tribes are fascinating. There are the Iroquois, the Blackfoot, the Athlete's One. There is Running Nose, Itchy Back, and other well-known appellations. And, of course, what one must realize is the skill that these people had. They could track a man just by a broken twig, a smell, a sniff, a bit of fire put out, the clouds in the sky, plumbers, almost any way. These people would tell you exactly what...
Sheila Hancock has challenged.
I think you repeated these people.
I know. Well, now, yes. There you are. Just what you said a little while ago. I went for
30 seconds.
Well,
it's unfair for him, too.
No, I don't mind, actually. I was running dry.
The audience... the audience enjoyed listening to him. It was terribly interesting what he had to say. You came in, so you got a point on this round, which you didn't have on the last, and you have 11 seconds on guides starting now.
Well, they're a bit of a sore point with me at the moment, because my husband and I went to Rome just recently, and I brought 3 guides. And we got utterly exhausted because we would go to one museum with...
So, Alfred Marx and Peter Jones are still in the lead together after that round. Sheila Hancock's made up a few points. Ken is still trailing, and he begins the next round. Kenneth, the subject, utilitarianism. You need a second or two to think about that one, but can you now try and talk for just a minute on the subject, starting now?
This is the philosophy, founded, I suppose, by Jeremy Bentham and largely succeeded eventually by J.S. Mill, holding that the best criteria is the greatest happiness of the largest number. You'll notice that I didn't repeat myself, which is very easy to do in that particular context. Of course, it has its origins in a very Christian attitude. Most of these philosophical attitudes do, I suppose, insofar as they do want what is the best for humanity. Indeed, we have spent many long years devising such ideas and methodologies, and yet we are always defeated by the architectonic nature of such schemes. Hegel had his, and indeed Karl Marx in Das Kapital draws...
Peter Jones had challenged with 1 second to go.
Well, I just wanted him to speak a bit louder because there's a man asleep in the front row.
Got a lot of help on this guy.
So your challenge is...
Well, he was kind of boring him into...
It was not a legitimate challenge, Peter.
It wasn't.
He has a point for that, and he has 1 second left on utilitarianism, starting now.
The most honourable tradition in English courts...
So Kenneth Williams was then speaking when the whistle went. He got another point in the round, and he has leapt forward. He's now equal with Sheila Hancock in third place.
No.
Alfred Marx and Peter Jones are still equal in the lead. And Peter, it's your turn to begin. The subject is home movies. Will you tell us something about those in just a minute, starting now?
Well, they can be terribly boring when they're inflicted on guests who don't expect them. And I remember when I was on a long sea voyage, I saw a man with a big movie camera who took a photograph, moving, of course, because it was a cine, and he...
Kenneth Williams is charged.
Hesitation.
No. No. I disagree entirely.
Well, how can you take a photograph with a cine camera, then? It's deviation.
Well, a lot cine of photography, isn't it? He wasn't hesitating, he was reloading.
Look, stop having a discussion about it. Your challenge was hesitation, and it was wrong. And Peter Jones still has the subject, and there are 45 seconds on home movies starting now.
He was focused on a mere speck on the horizon, which took at least half an hour to come alongside, and it was a boring dredger. And then he continued...
Gina Hancock is...
Repetition of boring.
Yes, you had a boring right at the beginning, Peter.
I want to know what it was, though.
I told you, it was a dredger.
A dredger.
Oh, that's what it was, I see.
Sheila, there are 37 seconds left, and the subject is home movies starting now.
We have just been given a sound camera, and I don't advise any family to acquire one, because what happens is that every time you are having something nice happening to you, your husband says...
Alfred Marx is challenged.
Was the repetition happening?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm afraid so. Yeah. And Alfred...
Happening,
you...
I said then.
Oh, happen and happening.
Happen and happening.
Yes.
I withdraw.
Well, you were speaking in the opposite direction to me, Sam, so I didn't...
Yes, I withdraw my challenge.
I'm afraid you can't withdraw in this game. It's once you've pressed your buzzer, You know,
no, what I mean is I don't want to take the subject from her, is what I'm saying. Which is obviously in sharp focus. Pardon?
Well, you shouldn't have pressed your buzzer in that case.
Well, it was a misapprehension. I really thought she'd said happened. Why don't you mind your own business?
Now you say that. Now
you say that.
I don't want five. I don't need five governors on this show. Too long have I sat here in silence taking these insults.
Really brings it out in all of them, doesn't
it? Yes, eventually.
Come on, just a minute and discover your aggression.
If you ever want to play the game at home, you see what it brings out of all the family.
Well, surprise myself, then, isn't it?
Right, there are 25 seconds left, Sheila, with you on home movies, starting now.
And you find your husband shouting at you, say something funny for the movie, and then when it's repeated at home in front of gaping friends, you discover that you have, in fact, uttered something totally inane, usually a swear word such as me. Meaning, go away, I want to enjoy myself without having that rotten camera pointing at me every time.
Alfred Marks, a challenge.
Camera twice, I'm afraid.
Yes, I'm afraid.
More than
so.
Twice, I mean, but I kept very quiet about it.
Alfred, you have 4 seconds on home movies starting now.
How many times have we sat there watching people inflict these films upon us?
Well, Alfred Marks got more points than Peter Jones in that round, and so he's now one ahead of Peter, but Sheila Hancock's creeping up and Kenneth isn't far behind. And Sheila Hancock, your turn to begin. The subject of wrestling. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, actually, I could have included that in my home movies thing, but perhaps I better not. I used to live in...
Kenny Jones has challenged.
Oh, a very definite hesitation.
I know it was definite, but there was a hesitation.
Did definite or not? Are you pronouncing a hesitation or aren't you?
I'm pronouncing a hesitation.
I would like to know where I stand.
Oh, whoops.
I'm pronouncing that it was...
Well, thank you.
I haven't pronounced yet. It was a hesitation, but it wasn't as definite as you said.
I see. So now we know.
May I suggest a point for the Betty Davis impersonation?
You better suggest something, dear.
Yes. Have you ever played Mrs. Malaprop?
I'll think about it.
Right, well, while you're thinking about that, think about wrestling and try and talk on it for 44 seconds. I have to keep taking it away from 60 always. Why
53?
53, yes, I can't subtract very well, but 53 seconds on wrestling starting now.
When you're wrestling with a problem in the mind, you can spend hours and weeks of depression and the most awful perspiration that covers the face, and eventually you have a headache and you think to yourself, I have wrestled so long and so endlessly with this particular dilemma that I think the only way out will be to have a drop of the old Ferdy Branca, or take this tablet and your little drink et and your fag, and you sit there and think, well, now perhaps the world isn't such a bad place after all.
Sheila Hancock has challenged.
Hasn't he deviated a bit from wrestling?
I think he has, yes, I'm sure.
It's a cure for headaches, really.
I know, and all that drink he was taking and so forth. There are 17 seconds left. Wrestling, Sheila, with you, starting now.
I must admit that there's something irresistible about watching wrestling on television, because you do have the feeling that nobody is actually going to get hurt, as it's all sort of choreographed, I'm sure. I think probably when it's a real sport, maybe then they do a bit...
Actually, if you're interested, Sheila, they do get hurt, but they don't hurt each other so much that they can't continue.
Quite.
Anyway, you've caught up, and you're in second place with Peter Jones and only 1 point behind Alfred Marks, and Kenneth is not far behind you as well. But, Alfred, it's your turn to begin. The subject's a little titch. Will you tell us something about him in just a minute, starting now?
The most famous little titch of all, I suppose, was the well-known variety artist who was a star in the Edwardian era in the old music halls. He was called Little Titch because he was short in stature, and his fame was that he had these enormous large boots in which he stood upon the toe of these things that went on his feet. Oh, I haven't been challenged. How good. And so, therefore, he used to do a tap dance on these things, which was very amusing. On the other
Peter
hand...
Peter Jones has challenged.
Repetition of things.
Yes,
things,
I'm afraid.
Yes. Well, they ain't what they used to be, you see. That's the problem.
There are 34 seconds left, Peter, and you have the subject of Little Titch starting now.
I've got a gramophone record of Little Titch at home, and it starts in the middle. I've never been able to play it, and works outwards, you see. The thread of the...
Alfred Marx's challenge.
Hesitation?
Yes, the thread of the...
Thread of the year.
I'm fascinated to know how it works.
Well, I was hoping somebody might have told me if I was allowed to go on with it. But,
well, you've made your point, and there's many people listening. You might get a letter or two, you never
know.
Yes,
I was hoping to get a gramophone. played it, you know, backwards.
You might get more than you bargained for. You never know.
Ah, well, it might be.
Did you love the way he calls them gramophones and wirelesses?
Yes. Yes.
Well, this is a gramophone record since it was made in the Edwardian era.
Do you call movies pictures still?
No, flicks.
Let's
get on with the game. There are 24 seconds left. Alfred, you have the subject of Little Titch, and you start now.
It is a name the cruel boys in school call others if you are not a very tall one. And so many terrible jokes have been made about Little Titch. For example, what about Harry? He was run over by a Hoover last week. And also, there he was pacing up and down under the bed. And also, what about the one about he married this...
Sheila Hancock.
And also.
Yes, I agree. Yes, there are six
pity seconds because you missed a very, very funny story.
Well, I'll let you have
it. If it was so funny, tell us. We'll wait.
This Little Titch, he married a tall girl. His friends put him up to it.
I'm sorry I can't give you a bonus point, but we all appreciated it, and there are
not
six...
as much as Little Titch appreciated.
maybe she did as well. There are 6 seconds left for Little Titch with you, Sheila, starting now.
I would dispute with Alfred Marx that only small people are called Little Titch. In fact, I, who am...
Well, we're at an interesting position in the game because this was the last round, and with a final flourish, Kenneth caught up quite a number of points, but he still finished in fourth place, I'm afraid. He was only 1 point behind Peter Jones, who at one time was leading. Peter was 2 points behind Sheila Hancock, who is 1 point behind this week's winner, Alfred Marx. Well, we hope you've enjoyed Just a Minute and will want to tune in again at the same time next week when once again we take to the air and we play this unlikely game, Just a Minute. Until then, from all of us here, goodbye.
The chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The programme was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by John Browell.